Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today. At LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Challenge All-Stars 4 Over Half Bucks podcast for episode 6. I am Brian Cohn. With me, as always, is my co-host, Alexander Ali. How are you?
Well, it took us 6 episodes and I think 4 videos for me to show up with wet hair, truly breaking the video medium. Doing okay. How are you?
Are we doing hats? I can do a hat also. Let's bring out the hats. Let's make this a hat podcast. Here we go. Boom.
I'm going to be, if we continue this after this season, hats mandatory. Headbands, Parvati kind of stole headbands, not from me, but like, I've been on this headband tip, so get ready for those.
Just here,
standing by.
Double hats for a double elimination. This is what we're here for. Another big week, big episode, lot to discuss. And it's been great again.
Yeah, I think the time is dulling my energy. This was a fantastic episode. I was really jazzed the whole time. Very excited to talk about it. And I think we were talking. Sorry,
jazz.
Oh, I think we were talking about like, do they need to do double eliminations like to get to the regular 13 episode season last week? So do you think that's going to continue? It shouldn't, for our listeners, this shouldn't have been a big surprise, although I was still surprised.
No. No, and then they also, I mean, TJ specifically halfway mark. So that's a good milestone marker for how far we have to go. I mean, I think it's setting up that there's going to have to be like a massive purge, or there's going to be people left on the sidelines. So I think we're set up for like a good way to end it. It's not just going to get down to it with 6 people left.
Speaking of being set up, I always like read too much into the previously on. Why did they set up our boy Leroy? Like, played him. Why was he carrying a punching bag in the first place?
I don't know. I hope he was in on it. I hope he was in on the joke of all the outtakes. He got the outtake montage for his previously on. I hope they ran it past him.
But I did think I made too much out of Kara's last week, like saying like, and I'm going to win the $250,000. So they gave a similar cutaway from Leroy. So, but again, another strong opening song. They always kill the opening song. You know, Whitney Houston can't go wrong to kick us off.
Yeah, and we jump-started back with Cam and Leroy. I mean, Leroy's celebratory, got his star. Cam's proud. Cam's looking for her. That's going to be the theme of this episode, is Cam trying to make her mark and get her star. Try to join her partner in crime with the star.
So far, no other members have sought membership, or no other people have sought membership in the Cam defense. I forget what I called it, but Cam and Leroy are so much fun. Like, the scene was so much fun. Mm-hmm. They're so in love. They're so supportive. It's like, I know people are a little bit tired of their exposure in general. People are a little bit tired of Cam's energy this season, but I'm still a Cam defender and I love this. And I want the audience to come back for loving and supporting Leroy and Cam.
Yeah, and I think the important clarification here, at least for me, is you can be annoyed by Cam and, like, you know, maybe even want to maybe root against her if you want, but she's bringing a lot to the season. Her everything she's doing is front and center. She's whether she's trying to get people in, trying to get herself in, manipulating votes, pushing decisions, like, she's being her power player self. So, again, you can maybe choose not to like Cam, but, again, if there's anyone, saying go away, we don't want to see her again, like, those people can kick rocks. Like,
you cannot root against Cam and be a member of the Cam defenders. That is a prime membership requirement. But no, you're right. It's like, we talk about this all the time, and this is the same with reality TV, and we learned this from our friends Mari and Matt, the wrestling wrap up. Like, you know, the heels are as necessary as the other ones, the good ones. What is it?
The faces.
Yeah. So, no, it is true. And they're kind of leaning heavy on, what's your read on this? I kind of feel like they're leaning, especially last week into this week, as like Kara is the one you're supposed, quote unquote, supposed to be rooting for. But like the way the votes go, you know, this week, it kind of seems like Cam, Leroy / Laurel more have the house.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think Cam or Kara, either of them, are coming across as faces. I think they're kind of both being, not even vilified, but like, as kind of complicated people. I think like Leroy is more of like the face right now, as everyone, as usually is. It's hard for him not to be the heel or not to be the face. But I don't think they're trying to make this more sympathetic for either of them. And they're both getting confessionals and scenes where you might see them coming across as a little more arrogant or even making wrong decisions. So I think they're just both being complicated beings, which is kind of like the perfect spot to be.
Yeah, I feel there's a slight you know, rooting interest being sort of baked into the Kara edit. But you know, or I felt that way last week. This week, I think there's a lot more like stuff thrown in her face, like particularly when we get to the daily, like even just the partner selection. But Kara, I think, is bringing some of the more interesting strategic discussions to her confessionals. So, like, first we get her talking to Ryan saying, like, I'm motivated to keep Leroy out of the elimination and Cam because I don't want my star stolen now. I don't know if we've really discussed this angle of the game.
No, and Kara's really the only one who even brought it up. Like, from the get-go, she was like, I'm playing a defensive game. I think from episode one, after she got her star. So this is kind of the next phase of it. And yeah, because I mean, when we did the Red Skulls, there was no way to steal it. They've never really done something where you can earn your ticket to a final and then lose it through the season. So this is like a fun facet of the game. And so far, we're really only seeing Kara at least openly talk about things to do to keep her star. I'm sure everyone else is kind of thinking about it, but she's like actively putting people into elimination to save her star.
And Kara's got such a unique mindset because she really, I mean, is she the only, I think maybe Laurel, although we'll talk about, well, let's just say now, someone from the great Challenge Wrap Up Facebook group told us that it's been discussed on other podcasts or elsewhere on the internet that Laurel told everyone not to work with Kara, which was sort of news to me. But I think Kara is really the only person besides, I guess, maybe Adam, who genuinely would go to the end against anybody. Her motivation is not to get strong people out. So, like, she can make the decision of, like, I want to keep people out of elimination based on who's going to take my star, not based on who can beat me in the end. Right. Because I think I can beat anyone, one. And two, I'd be honored to lose to a better person than myself.
Yeah, and what's tough for Carr is she's always going to have that, you would think, going into a season amongst the other women, because obviously they would want to make sure they can't go up against her, which makes this one even more challenging. And we're seeing it kind of week to week as all the guys are jumping in and be like, no, we need to get Carr out. Like, that was one of the big things that Ryan was struggling with. Like, who do I side with, Carr or side with Cam? Like, people are struggling that would have worked with Carr without a question, but now they have to see her as the rightful competition. So that's making this path to the end even more tricky for Carr. And if she somehow is able to get to the final without ever losing the star, it would be even doubly impressive.
It also, like, makes the star twist more of something that kind of screws Kara, because otherwise I don't think Kara ends up on the opposite side of Cam and Leroy for any reason, right? Like, you know, a lot of people, including Kara, think that Cam used her vote with Rachel, or her vote to protect Rachel, as the reason to go after her, and she would have gone after her regardless. But let's just say we believe Cam's rationale, that it was just Kara getting caught up in protecting her star that put her at odds with Leroy and Cam. Like, otherwise Kara would have no reason to be at odds with Leroy and Cam, because she'd never be coming for Cam or Leroy, because again, she'd be happy to run the final with Leroy, which is insane, but is just how Kara is as a player.
Yeah, but to Kara's point, I feel like Cam, like, this was the reason she came up with to go after Kara.
Yeah, of course.
Looking to go after Kara anyway, so.
No, but just, like, with an asterisk, let's assume we believe that for a moment.
Yep, exactly.
What do you think of Survivor Steve? Is he the TV show in the house you'd want to be watching?
I mean, a little bored in the house. They're in the house bored. He's coming up with some games. I did like that we were vindicated by Ace, because we thought he's been sleeping the entire time, and it turns out has been sleeping the whole time. So we were right. We called that one. Good job by us.
It's funny that that's, like, the two shows that Kara sets up, because honestly, the only show worth watching in this house, I think, is, like, the Nicole and Laurel drama. Like, if I were in the house, I would be Ryan and Veronica, like, creeping down at 3 a.m., like, laughing in their face directly.
Right. There's also the Brad and the Tal show, I'm sure. You know, that got some attention. So there's that show as well for the late nighter.
The thing about Nicole and Laurel, and I said this last week, but it just felt even, it rang truer this week, of like, we really haven't had some just, like, straight up juicy toxic drama, I feel like, in a little while to discuss. Like, even in this conversation before the hookup, where, like, Nicole kind of, like, takes vague accountability, like, she doesn't take accountability for anything, but Laurel's super excited to hear her say the words, like, accountability. And then Laurel is like, I will always love you, whether it's as a friend, as a relationship. Like, I've loved you once, so I'll always love you. And Nicole's like, I care about you. And Laurel's like, whoa! Like, and it's like, oh, girl. Like, it's so hard to watch. Like, Laurel is if you give a mouse a cookie, you know? Like, she just cares so much about Nicole that she just has blinders on.
Yeah, and I think what makes this almost easier, I feel like, as for me as a viewership to watch and not be disgusted by, compared to, you know, people have thrown out the comparison of, like, the Jordan and Tori stuff, is I feel like that, I know Laurel might disagree because obviously her feelings are more involved, but the Tori and Jordan stuff felt so much more heavy, given the fact that obviously there was an engagement, they were literally planning their future together, and then it was like that falling apart, whereas the Laurel and Nicole stuff, like, I think, again, for Laurel it probably felt more serious, for Nicole, like, this is just what she does, so it the toxicity is almost, I'm able to, like, step away from it and watch them as just two TV characters, where the Jordan and Tori stuff felt much more personal. That I was, like, watching their, like, couples counseling to a degree. So this, I'm able to just watch as, like, a TV viewer and not feel, like, gross by it.
No, definitely. I mean, the Jordan and Tori stuff, especially their last couple seasons, right, is very, like, their devastating breakup and coping with their devastating breakup. Here, like, yes, they're coming off of a breakup, but, you know, I think Nicole was engaged to somebody else before this. Like, she's not her most recent ex, and they're rekindling. Like, I do think, like, it's a fair comparison. Like, if they were still having, like, the episode one stuff where they were just, like, constantly fighting about it and, like, having these, like, deep emotional constant fights, and then one of them was hooking up with someone else in the house, right? Like, those things might be more difficult to watch, but, like, now they're, like, rekindling, and it's like, I don't want to really watch the fallout of this, but it feels like old school, like, kind of fun to watch, like,
yeah,
the pre-implosion. Because the social media 2 years later is not good. Like, that is not fun. No,
it's like a very different story than what we're seeing on TV. But we also got the very classic, like, they think they're being sly, hooking up, like, the bathroom or on the roof. And then the camera's just right there watching them, like, waiting for them to come around the corner when the, you know, they're done with their stuff. And they're right there. Boom. Headshot.
Shout out to the editors for giving, at least again, though, we saw Nicole initiating it, instigating it. So, you know, no conversation the next day being like, you can't come into my bed. Nicole's caught red-handed there. But yeah, also, yeah. House having an outdoor sauna. Fierce house. Good for everyone.
It's a great house. I feel like this house is getting widely regarded. But I also didn't realize this was the Challenge World Championship house, apparently. So I guess they're reusing some of them. But it's a great house. Maybe they open up more rooms this time. I don't know.
All right, I think we can head to the daily.
Yeah, we got, it's called Take a Seat. As TJ says, the halfway mark, so we're getting down to it. So this is done in two phases. No BCR, unfortunately, womp womp, because it's just done in pairs.
But there's so many colors.
Were they in colors? I just noted them as pairs. Were they actually in colors? Oh, my God.
Yeah, when they go to get tokens, in phase two. I was going to ask you about the BCR in phase two.
Oh, I didn't notice. I just thought they were just in pairs. I didn't even notice that they actually were designated colors. Well, phase one was a game of musical chairs that had run up through a stadium. Must be the same stadium they did one of those dailies in the World Championships on. It was the same spot. One by one, pairs were eliminated. Until it got down to four, and those four got a massive advantage in the second phase to determine the daily winner.
In defense of the advantage, three of the four top teams did come from the advantage, but yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. Getting just the challenge overall, to give you the ACR, I think it is a criticism of the designation because they're still doing the helmet mohawk strip, which is garbage, doesn't work. Mm-hmm. But I did think they had a beautiful variety or array of colors. So I thought you were going to be pleased, but it was too much variety for you to even notice.
I guess too many. Yeah, I was too disgusted by the fact that we did a phase two. We just didn't make this very fun phase one the entire daily. This would have been great. This would have been the daily of the season.
I agree. So taking it in parts, I love that they picked their partners. I love that we mm-hmm. saw that. I love that there was like yep. some discussion with Leroy and Cam and Ace and Kara. I also love the clip of Brad just walking directly past Tina and Flora without making any eye contact when they said, pick your partners. Yeah. But I love the musical chairs. I thought it was so fun. I would have been fine if they got it down to those four or five teams and then did something else with just those teams to pick a winner. But they should have all been like the middle group or whatever the numbers worked out to be.
Yeah, I totally agree. Because, I mean, as Laurel pointed out, I mean, luckily it didn't work out this way. But the fact that she was out first, she was like just chilling on the sidelines, resting while Keith was like blowing out his hamstring to like make it all the way through. So it was kind of a bit of a weird like glimpse as to what they do in the final. Of like, oh, you do all this work, you get 5 seconds advantage in like another race. So not the best.
And maybe 30 seconds would have been better if, like, it was just running to a puzzle and starting. But then it was, like, completely random chance where your tokens were. It wasn't even, like, they were given a seat number in a section. Like, if there was something more definitive and it was just, like, a foot race or a puzzle, 30 seconds is great. If it's basically pick a seat out of a hat and hope your tokens are there, it's not such an advantage.
Yeah. Any surprises? So this time, obviously, Cam and Leroy decide to keep stay together as opposed to in the past. This one, they pair up. I didn't even realize that Kara and Ace were like dynamic duo. And Jay is the brawn of the duo. Jay's in good shape, but I just don't think he's ever been described as the brawn of a duo before. So good for him.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet to watch Kara pick somebody else over Ace and then have Ace win. Like, it was mm-hmm. it was some nice little revenge there. Leroy and Cam last split up, I think, when Rourke was on and you guys talked about it. I felt like really, you know, I know hindsight's 2020 and they both end up in the bottom together. And if they had won, maybe it would have been like, oh, pick each other. But when they decided to work together without knowing the outcome, I hated this decision for them.
Why this one?
Just because, like, I just feel like it's so critical that one of them be in the middle if one of them's in the bottom. Like, it's so much harder to look at someone's face and vote in your partner, especially in like a very, yeah. very small group. So I just feel like giving up that kind of ally is like a huge mistake when all my brain just broke. Sorry. It's been a tough week. But that was it. And then I also felt like, what was it? There's just like not enough to be gained from them being in the same group. Like, I didn't really feel like, especially if they know, if they still think it's just going to be a women's day, like Leroy risking being in the bottom isn't that big of a risk. I don't know. I just didn't feel like the benefit of them being together and both being safe outweighed, like, the risk of that was, oh my God, delete this. I hate that we're on video. Let me start again. Sorry, everyone. The risk is not worth it. The reward is not worth the risk. That's what I mean. Mm-hmm. And to give up having the advocate is not worth that. Plus, they could both be safe. That's the other thing. It's not just one winner. I would consider everyone in the middle group above. Wow, brain fart. Don't comment. Don't care. Don't at me. But that's what I meant. The three middle teams who win and the winner, those are four winners. Those are enough spots where technically both of them could win. And if not, at least one of them has a good odds, has good odds of being an advocate. I'm going to leave now.
I don't have a strong opinion either way. I just think you have to stick with your game plan. I think unless something blatantly obvious has happened or they discussed that would point to them deciding to stay together rather than splitting apart, to me, it shows more like wishy-washy on their behalf. They don't really know what they're doing and don't have a clear path. It's like in blackjack. Like, you have to be the type of person that's going to hit a 16 against a 10 or stay. Like, you have to, like, do it every single time. If you go back and forth, you're going to call, you get yourself in a pickle and you're going to lose. So they just, like, every time we're sticking together or every time we're splitting apart, and just, like, go with your conviction. I don't like the going back and forth without any, like, oh, well, clearly we did this wrong last time, so this time we're going to stick together. It's more like, oh, we did it. We split apart last time. Let's just work together this time.
So I don't agree with that only when you can decide after you see the challenge. So, like, that was another reason before my brain short-circuited, I should be replaced by AI, is, like, here, a lot of it was luck, right? Musical chairs. Despite what Steve and Veronica say, that, like, purchasing stadium tickets in a completely unrelated stadium would give you some advantage here. It's more or less luck or a little bit quickness if you can get to the musical chair seating, then if you can find your tokens, and then at the end it becomes a puzzle. If there was, like, something that was hugely within their skill set and so therefore they want to pair up, fine. If there's something hugely outside of their skill set so they want to split up, like, I think that makes sense. But yeah, I see what you're saying. If it's just based on strategy and not based on, like, the likelihood that they win the challenge.
And then we got Derek once again doing very well in the challenge, probably would have won this daily or at least gotten the advantage of it, but Jasmine held them back for the fifth and final seat. I feel like they're setting something big up for Derek. I don't know. I'm like, I know that, again, we've been doing this for a freaking decade now, and the challenge doesn't do winner's edits, but it feels like they're setting up Derek to do very well, because once again, we had the confessional, I think it was Steve, being like, here we go, there's, look at Derek dominating once again. And if you get the confessional, even before the challenge, like, oh, I won the last two, I'm going to try to make it a three-peat. Like, I don't know. Derek is, like, very involved, and they're setting himself up for something down the road, obviously, but I think it's going to be something good.
Yeah, I agree. You flagged that last week, so I was definitely more locked into it this week. I think my problem with it, and he's certainly, like, performing well in the challenge, and he's, like, we see him, the first person at every, you know, seat section. So it's not just, like, they're telling us and not showing us, but it's not, like, materializing into any real power, any real game moves. He doesn't have a star. He hasn't sent himself in yet to get a star. Here, Jasmine completely takes him out. We're not seeing people like Laurel or Cara pick him as a partner, right? Like, there aren't real demonstrations of him as a power player besides we get a confessional once a week, like, talking about what a great athlete he's been in the eliminations that he then has, or sorry, in the dailies, which he is winning. But I agree. Like, I think they're telling his story to us for a reason, whether he makes the final, whether he wins the final, or whether they're trying to set him up as, like, sort of the classic Derek position of like the person who just misses the final when everybody in the season thinks he should make it and he like gets purged at the end. For all of those scenarios, some more stuff has to happen for me to really get invested in any of those storylines than like Steve saying he's great. But he did show out in this challenge. It's the third challenge in a row. Like he's absolutely showed up and showed out. So I'm glad he didn't go home in that first episode.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And then we have another, I guess I have to take back my words about Laurel being a coach, because Laurel, obviously, the first one out with Brad. And then each round, she is just cheering everyone on to the point that I'm like, who is that yelling? And then I realize, oh, it's just Laurel. I don't think she was necessarily even rooting anyone specific on. I think it was just a general, like, you got this, guys. Go, go, go. You got to run. So she's a coach. Coach Laurel coming at you.
I know. And she'd bother the heck out of me because she's screaming out the seat ranges, too. And it's like, well, you're not helping anyone. You're just taking – you're just helping the person who got there first, you know. And, like, there were a couple rounds where – it was interesting. Like, it wasn't necessarily the last person who got there. I think Adam goes out because he's in like the wrong seat on the other side. He was just sitting in the wrong seat. So Laurel, I guess, evening the playing field for everyone. Two things I just want to say about the first round with Brad. Well, the first has nothing to do with Brad. It's I am accidentally doing Wayne's World cosplay, and I just realized that right now. I feel like I'm giving very that. The second thing is, did TJ have to come so hard for Brad when he said Brad's out? Shocker. I was like, so TJ and Jeff this season just being like, you guys suck during the episode.
And then once again, like, I know they're best friends, but it's almost like a certain point, like, guys, get a room. Like, TJ, like, oh, I got my main man Leroy paired with Cam. Like, what's the kid? Come on, Mark, we know you're best friends. You don't have to say that every time. Enough.
Deep favoritism. It's not even just that. Deep. Like, he said it to he said something similar to Brandon, right? When he left, it's just like,
yeah.
And I guess when he leaves, it's not as bad. But like, TJ, hide your cards a little bit.
Seriously, if there's a vote at the end, we know where TJ's is going.
The energy, I just want to commend the challengers for having of taking this like gasified version of musical chairs and like making it cutthroat. I lived for, I loved the performance and the challenge. I did not live for like Veronica and a couple other people being like, oh my God, like no one cares what they're doing to other people. Or like, I wouldn't play dirty, like play dirty. It's for $250,000 musical chairs. Get rough a little bit. It's the challenge.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. No notes.
And then we hear the first mention of Kiefla's injury. And I think Kiefla takes the voice of the audience there. And he's like, no injury, no injury, no injury. I was like, no injury, no injury.
No whammy, no whammy, no whammy, no whammy. Yeah, big whammy. Yeah, poor guy. I mean, I felt for him. Like, I mean, very funny even talking about his wife being like, just please just don't get injured. He got injured. He hate to see it, but it's tough. It's not a young man's game. Or it is a young man's game, I should say.
And then we get to phase two, and you already roasted the 30-second head start. What shocked me, you know, we normally roast the head starts and the rewards as not being that good. But that they aired Laurel talking shit about the reward was so shocking to me.
Yeah, even to go even more, like, again, the point that I brought up in the beginning, like, oh, it's better off I sucked in the beginning because I actually get a better advantage here. Wow, you know, that's All-Stars. All-Stars doesn't, like, I feel like they're not afraid to, like, make fun of themselves. Like, they make fun of the players. I think they make fun of the game. Like, they're making fun of the producers here. Everyone gets a joke.
Well, since we're cool making fun of the editors, the producers here, I have a grievance about the shadow, the silhouettes that they used in the middle team's brackets. Did you notice that?
I noticed the silhouettes, and then they popped up with the people. What was the issue?
So perhaps I know Ryan Kehoe's outline too well, but they didn't just use, like, stock silhouettes. Like, they used the actual blacked-out images of their cast photos. Yeah. So, like, when Adam and Flora's image, like, populated, I was like, hold on. And I paused and I looked at just the silhouettes of the third place finish. And I was like, that's Avery and Ryan 100%. Like, 100%. Wow. And then it was. And I was like, that's not amazing. Like, that's not amazing.
I did not pick that up. That would be a fun daily, though. Like, you have the silhouettes of everyone. You have to match the people up to who their silhouettes are. And Alan would win.
If you can't identify Ryan Keough by his silhouette, like, are you watching the challenge? I don't know.
I guess not.
I think it was a bummer.
That's very funny.
Yeah. But the rest of the teams, Ace and Nicole, as we already said, come in first. And then Car and Jay, Adam and Flora, Ryan and Avery make up the middle team.
Yeah, it's amazing. Again, like, how many people they're putting in the bottom group of such a select company in the middle. You just think when it gets even in smaller numbers what they do, but they really are trying to keep, like, the voting block. I don't think it's ever been more than six. I think they try to keep six as, like, the max that they have going as the vote. So I think that's going to be – it's a very fun facet of this season.
Yeah, I think it's way more interesting to have the smaller group in the format. It certainly seems what they've wanted to happen. It's also kind of made it harder to figure out, like, who's a big voting block in the house. Like, I think that's kind of revealing itself more and more this episode. Yeah. Even some people are, like, Jay and Ryan are sort of making more decisions this episode than they've had to make in the past. But I think any smaller of, like, the losing group is sort of, like, a bummer, like, to have fewer than five people to pick from, two of five. You know, it's, like, kind of shitty odds if it's any smaller than that. I know it has been in the past, but I think this was, like, a good way to, what was it, 18 people to, like, configure 18 people. And shout out to doing pairs and not on, like, an odd-numbered day.
Yeah. Well, what I can guarantee you is next week, because this is their favorite thing in the world, there will guarantee to be four teams of four next week, because that's what the challenge loves to do. And if they don't do that, then that leads me to believe that the producers on this version are different than the producers on 39, because we added four teams of four for, like, a month, 2 months straight on 39. So buckle up.
I'm fine with four teams of four. My problem is the Asaf, Raven, what's her name, Zara team, you know? Like, I don't like pairs when then there's one team of three. Four teams of four, beautiful.
They are at a good number next. Obviously, there are even, so. No. I can see them doing single elimination next week because 15 is also a good number. I can see why they wanted to get from 18 to 16 because 17 is a rough number. So they probably want to avoid the prime numbers. So I bet when they're getting down to 13, they're going to want to make the jump to 12. Same thing with 11, but they can keep 15. So I think next week's single elimination.
What do you do with 15? Five teams of three?
Yeah.
And have three in the bottom, one team's the middle.
Or three teams, or five teams of three. Yeah.
All right. All right, let's talk about Jay and Kara, because I think this is actually really interesting. Like, didn't have on my 2024 bingo card that I'd be like, Jay is kind of giving the most interest in the house right now of where he's at. Because yeah. I think prior to this episode, I would have said Nicole is his number one. He's really established with Kara also. It is a surprise to me that Jay looks Kara in the face and stumps for Jasmine in this spot. Like, have we seen that on the show?
No. And I was trying to think of the connection, because obviously they note that Jasmine is very well connected. And I thought, like, is Jay like super close somehow with Ryan, or what, did he get somehow close with John A back in the, like, I was trying to like even think back of like the Rolodex of like who could the bridge have been that led Jay to Jasmine. But I don't see anyone that specifically led it, unless Jay is close to Jasmine just because he knows that Jasmine's close to a lot of people, so he doesn't want to ruffle feathers by going after Jasmine. But that's not how he presents it.
To look at your number one B, you know, like maybe Nicole's 1A, Kara's 1B for Jay, to look at your number one B and say that her biggest enemy is someone whose name you can't say, like, it works for Jay, because I think, like, unlike the Cam Kara Leroy, like, unraveling, the Brandon Kara unraveling, looking at Kara straight in the face and explaining something to her, I think she can, like, actually respect. Obviously, she later, like, gives him an ultimatum. But I do think, like, Jay did the right thing by just being upfront with Kara about where he stood. It was a risk.
Yeah, and I think it also works just because of the structure of, like, this season and the format. Like, and because Kara really doesn't have anyone else. Like, Kara's clinging to the scraps of, like, who she can work with, and Jay seems to be that one person. So what, is she going to burn the bridge with Jay over this? And Jay doesn't have to worry about going in this week. He doesn't worry about his number one going in this week. Nicole is safe. Obviously, he goes in, but, like, he's safe. So he's able to, like, be a little bit more honest with what he wants to do, because he is in a good position for this particular vote.
What do you think of Kara's move, where her sights are sort of set on Jasmine here? Because, like, in a normal, not normal, but a contestant with priorities of, like, keeping weaker people at the final and getting out your biggest threats, so a non-Kara would love Jasmine having a star and would not want that star taken away and would be aligned with the house going to the end with her.
Yeah.
However, I understand Kara sensing, like, oh, my Stargate plan is blowing up in my face. Veronica and Jasmine, being the other two female star holders, will always keep those stars, and it will just be strong people trading my star back and forth while they walk to the end. Like, what is the correct priority here? Like, should Kara be targeting Jasmine so aggressively, or should Kara be okay aligning with the rest of the house and focused on some other bigger targets?
No, I think Kara was right. The play is to try to keep her star at all costs, especially just how the house is shaking up. Like, if Kara were to have lost her star this week, there's no chance she ever gets voted into elimination again. The only chance she would get in is if she wins a daily and then goes in herself. So I think she has to go after, has to play defense in protecting her star. And the way it played out, I'm almost surprised this wasn't her backup plan. She didn't necessarily need to have Jasmine and Veronica go in. She should have been pitching to Nicole, help me rally the votes to get Jasmine in against literally anyone, and then you can go in and take out Jasmine and take the star, and that way we both are safe, we both are free. I know Nicole doesn't have a vote, but if she pitches that to Nicole, Nicole pitches that to Jay, that's how she can get the votes to specifically be like, have it be even Laurel and Nicole, or Laurel and Jasmine, who even cares, and just have Nicole swap with Laurel or whatever. Like, that could have been the move, and not get so complicated with having Veronica in the mix too.
So yeah, I totally agree, first of all, that Kara's plan to get the star holders in to, or to get Jasmine, or if she was even just so focused on Veronica, either way, it is the right move and being defensive. I also think she desperately needs another strong final threat up there with her holding a star, either to gain leverage working with that person like she had with Rachel, or to sort of distract attention off of her. I don't know if Nicole is enough of a threat to be that person. I think, like, a Laurel is probably a better person in that position. But anyway, On the flip side, I agree. I was wondering the whole time why the possibility of Nicole coming in to take the star wasn't being discussed at all, particularly as they set up a Jasmine Veronica elimination. Like, before we even saw the elimination, I was like, there's a 98% chance that Nicole's going to go in here. It's probably her best option.
Yep.
But it's that wrinkle of, you know, everybody outside of the show seems to know that Laurel and Kara were not working together, that Laurel told everybody not to work with Kara. This is, you know, hearsay from the audience, but seems to be bearing fruit on TV. And Nicole comes down with the wrath of a thousand suns against Kara, and her move seems to be made against Kara rather than for herself, which is so confusing to me,
right,
which I guess we'll talk about in the elimination. So I don't think, apparently, despite the scenes we've seen with Laurel and Kara talking like friends and being supportive, that Kara would have had any leverage talking to Nicole.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, the Nicole's reaction of once it gets down to the elimination, because this was like set up on a silver platter. Like, this would have been something like the BFFs would have orchestrated for each other. Like, if Rachel, Veronica, Tina could have done this, be like, oh my God, this is so perfect. We'll toss, one of us will win. They'll toss the other one in, so that way they can go against Jasmine for the win. Like, and Nicole takes it as like such a slight, like, oh, you were working with Kara. It's very bizarre. And I think, again, it only leads to the possibility, like you said, of like everyone, Laurel getting the house and like, don't work with Kara, don't work with Kara, which almost makes the fact that she was able to flip this vote seemingly live so much more incredible, that Laurel has poisoned the house to not work with Kara. And yet live at the nomination, Kara is able to flip the vote to get it to be what she wants.
Yeah, I mean, let's get right to that, because like, Cam's plan is, I want to go in against Tina. And I think, you know, you mentioned Kara was sort of doing too much with the plan. It should have been Jasmine against anybody potentially. I really think Cam was doing way too much with this plan, particularly with the field of women available to go up against. I think Kara could have done just what Janelle did. Sorry, not Kara. Cam could have done what like Janelle did, and just been like, I just want to go in. I don't care who it's against.
Yep.
You guys decide. It's Jasmine, Tina, and Veronica who are like all good options. And as she says, there won't be votes for Laurel, but Cam doesn't need to prescriptively tell people like, I'd be fine going against Laurel, but you don't have the votes. Like, you don't want to go against Laurel.
Right.
That's fine. Nobody, you'd be stupid to want to go against Laurel. You're too smart for that.
Yeah. Especially because we just saw this. I mean, especially for them, it was a couple of weeks ago of how much it backfired oh my God, who just did that? You just said it. I forgot her name. This is really bad. Janelle, about, she was like, I want to go in specifically against one person, and it backfired so badly. What could have been funny if Carl wanted to like try to fake mend fences with Cam, if she could have agreed, okay, Cam, we'll let you go in against Jasmine, knowing that Nicole was just going to swap with Cam. Now, I don't know if like Nicole would then take the almost fire at the shot at Leroy and Cam of like replacing Cam in that elimination, but that would have been very funny if Kara messed around with Cam almost a little bit of like, oh, placating her, I'll let her go in knowing she's going to get that swap with.
Well, that's what's so tough. It is hard to sort of understand who's working together in the house when we only see small segments of the middle group voting. Mm-hmm. So if we look at Jay's voting as like a conduit for Nicole's stance, given that they're really locked together, understanding that Jay's got a spoke to Kara that Nicole doesn't have. Neither of Jay's votes are for Cam or Leroy, which, you know, it's weird because voting for Cam in this spot would have been working with Cam, but he also saves Leroy because he could have pushed the Leroy vote from Steve to Leroy. So I don't know where anybody is on that side of the house.
Yeah. What I was most surprised by in the vote was actually Avery's vote, just because I know her and Derek are actually, I think maybe they became close from here, but I think they were close even before this. And obviously Derek and Jasmine are super close. So I was very surprised that Avery wasn't very much gung-ho, like, I'm not voting Jasmine, I'm making sure Jasmine is safe. And I was surprised that maybe, I don't know, like, with Adam being in the mix, I mean, Adam then ended up flipping his vote and kind of burning his vote, and maybe they started to get closer on this time, and they're they started talking a little bit more game, amongst other things, and that could have been how she was swayed. But that was the vote to me that I was most surprised about, was able to be flipped, that Avery wasn't very much a gung-ho, I'm keeping Jasmine safe.
So I don't think Avery ended up voting for Jasmine.
But I think
Avery
she
voted for – the vote count was 11 votes when it put the votes on the screen. Like, she voted for Veronica in her hands up, but I don't think she actually cast a vote for Jasmine.
So who was her other vote for? Did she burn it?
Yeah, they did not count. They did not count a vote. Like, they didn't show it, and she just like was so. Let's talk about the women first thing, because it was really interesting. I felt really bad for Avery here. Now, it's like tracking the relationships we don't know of and the relationship we do know of. I thought the same thing with Adam. Like, we have no idea where they're at in their relationship journey, but it's so weird knowing the end and going back to the middle. It's like a Bravo show. Yeah. But she, like, Adam pitches his men's vote and Avery doesn't go along with it. And then Adam pitches his women's vote and like calls everyone insane. And Avery's not like jumping in to go along with it. So I don't think she's like following Adam at that point. I do think Avery gets more like beaten down and is like so shut down by the end of this vote dealing with Kara that it's not an excuse. Like, she's got to kind of show up for her allies and like, this is the game. But I think she just like couldn't take the energy from Kara. And I don't know what she could have done, because at that point, like, 3 votes for Jasmine is enough. I guess she could have voted for Tina or Cam and tied the vote. She could have voted for Tina, that paid off that storyline between Avery and Tina, and forced a tie. But then I don't know what would happen, and maybe she felt like she'd go in. Like, I don't know what her options really were there.
Yeah, it was a very messy vote, and it was a little frustrating that it just seemed like it ended. Like, it was like, all right, it's not Cam. It's going to be, you know, the car got her way. I don't feel like there was a clear resolution. It was just abruptly ended with the vote, which is frustrating, because it was very interesting to watch it all play out. And I think I agree. I think, like, I know Avery came into the season being like, oh, I'm like been out of touch for a while. I don't know how the game works, yada, yada, yada. And I didn't buy that the first few rounds. This was like the most like, oh, she kind of is like out of the reality competition TV world, and like, this was like the first pressure cooker vote, and I don't think she did what in her head she wanted to do going into this.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, it's like, it's putting her again in a position to draw rocks. Like, is she gonna draw rocks for Jasmine? But like, she's seen the show, maybe she's gonna go in. Kara promises her, I'll give you an extra star. Like, I don't know how binding that is or how motivating that was to Avery, but she's definitely not working with Veronica, or, you know, she had the shakedown from Tina. I don't know where she stands with Veronica. Again, I don't know who she wanted to vote for. The votes end up being just a level set for the audience, if anyone's just listening. 3 for Jasmine from Kara, Jay, and Adam. 3 from Veronica, for Veronica, from Jay, Adam, and Avery. 2 for Tina and Cam, both Flora and Ryan voting as Cam wanted. 1 burn vote from Adam. Again, maybe they, you know, Avery was vote just like whatever, surrendered to Kara's vote. I don't know. Maybe it's just that it didn't matter, whatever. Mm-hmm. Is Kara spending too much social capital here? Like, I know we already agreed that this is like the right move to be defensive, but I did think that like this complete shakedown from these 6 people, like, you see Flora immediately leave and be like, Kara's a huge baby with a poopy diaper. She completely beats down Avery. I think, like, to your earlier point, like, okay, you want Jasmine in or you want Veronica in, but to like browbeat everyone to get both of these people in as you want, it felt like a big expense from Kara. Maybe she thinks she's got nothing to lose, but it just didn't sit right with me.
Yeah, I think ideally she could have had a similar outcome the way it played out, of just having Nicole go in and take out one of the stars people and not exert as much social capital. But I do understand it from her perspective, because especially with TJ laying out like the halfway mark, she knows it's just all about like survivor advance each round. Like, as whenever there's a women's day, she needs to just go balls to the wall 100% to keep her star, knowing there's probably going to be, if she makes it all the way through the end, 2 of them, maybe 3, that she can just win the daily outright, and then she keeps her star that way. And then for the couple that she's in, like, that weird middle group, like, just exert everything she possibly can to keep her star safe. So I'm good with that. I'd rather her expend as much social capital as she can to try to save each round than think she could play it safe and then have the star gone and then she doesn't get another crack at it again. So I can't fault her for doing what she's doing.
It's true because she's also in a bind, right? The person who wants to go in is going to – Cam is going to take a star from her. The person who's in first place, if she goes in, is going to take a star from her. And both of them are so motivated, they probably would have picked the star holder to be safe so that they could steal. Like, it's really – it seems like Nicole and Cam are motivated to particularly take Carr a star and not just get a star. Yeah. Which is understandable. They don't want Carr in the final. And personally, they're not working with her right now.
Do you think it is a tough spot for Carr. Do you think Carr has promised, though, to Avery, like, oh, I'll give you my extra star? Like, based off the structure of the house, is Carr aiming to be in a position to have an extra star? Like, she's in the bottom group. Isn't more of the house's focus to take her star away than to eliminate her? So I don't think they would vote her into elimination. I think they would let other people win and steal Carr's star. So I don't know when Carr is even going to have a spot to have an extra star to pass around.
Well, it depends. If it tracks the way these votes went, right, like all four star holders went into the elimination. Like, it is becoming a bit of a stargate, if only because the star holders in the middle want to push it that way. So the star holders are in the elimination. I think so much depends on who's in that middle group, right? Like, yes, what you're saying makes sense. But could I also see some people say, I'm just so desperate, particularly men in the middle group. Like, I won't have to go against her in elimination and I don't want to go against her in a final. So I'm going to take a shot. Like Kara says here, I'll vote Leroy and Kifla because in the like 1% chance that it hits, then Leroy's gone. Could I see them making the same move for Kara? Yeah, maybe.
Possible. Yeah. We'll see if Chekhov's Avery star is back to play.
I thought you were going to say, do I think that she'll honor that? Or like Avery was actually motivated for that or expected anything. I don't, because I think like Kara barely had anyone to give her star to. She gave her star to her like biggest enemy. I think Avery's like a good person to give it to because you'd probably rather her in a final than some of the other people you could give it to. That's not really Kara's style, but now she's got a reason to do that. But I don't think like Avery was really motivated by that promise. I mean, maybe we'll see some tweets soon of like, that was the only reason I made a deal with her, but
yeah,
who knows?
We'll see. Or at least
on the men's side,
maybe.
One shout out to Ryan Keough. It was so bold to look at Carr in the face after she was like, "I want, you know, Veronica and Jasmine to go in," and Ryan was like. And the way Kara put it was like, they're directly attacking me. And she was completely right. It's like Cam wants to go in because Cam wants to beat Tina and steal my star. It's a direct attack on me. She could have said anybody else, like, I don't care, whatever. Mm-hmm. And Ryan was like, I am voting for Cam and Tina. Like, that's not playing the middle.
And it was great to have confessionals being like, Kara, there's other players in this game that have their own game to play. We're not just playing Kara's game. And sure enough, it ended up going exactly how Carl wanted. But it was still refreshing and fun to hear people like openly push back on that. So it's nice to hear.
And it's a good time, I think, if you're playing the middle to not go along with Kara because, like you said before, Kara's really got nobody else. So it's like, how many people can she really add to her hit list versus like Cam has nothing but time, you know, like Cam, if a vote against her is a vote for her. So at this point, like working with Cam is closer to riding the middle than working against Cam.
Totally.
All right. Anything with the men's vote? I mean, it comes down to like near human or it comes down to completely unanimous for Kifla, which hurts my heart. And then Steve catching one more vote than Leroy goes in here, which I thought was really interesting. Like it ends up being Kara and Adam who are the only votes for Leroy, which made me think like maybe, again, I thought Kara had most of the house when she got Leroy in the first time. But like, who knows?
Yeah, it was good that they did the guys vote first because it set up a surprise with the second one. Because the fact that Leroy was safe, I was like, oh, okay, Cam's going to get what she wants. She's going to go in. So the fact that this vote went Cam Leroy's way and the other one did not is very fun for the show because it shows there's not one clear, like people, the power players, Cam and Kara, can make their pitches, but people are independently thinking which one would they rather do. And that makes for a fun dynamic and a much better season than just everyone following the herds with whatever one person wants to decide.
Yeah, and Jay really is one of the flippers here where he votes. He doesn't vote for Leroy, but then he votes with Kara for Jasmine and Veronica. And I wonder how much of that is Kara really throwing her weight around at the right time, being like, Jay, I am going to call this one in. Like, it is me or Jasmine right now.
Yeah. And if you're trying to, like, as most save face between Leroy and Cam, like, yes, Cam wants to go in, but the more direct shot at Leroy and Cam is throwing Leroy in rather than not throwing Cam in. So if you want to try to play the middle, you can be like, well, I kept Leroy safe. Like, I know I didn't go with you, Cam, but you'll get another shot. At least I kept Leroy safe.
And we did get the, like, interesting conversation in the beginning of the episode where Kara is like, I'm not gonna continue this. Like, if they take another shot at me, fine, but like, I'm not interested. Like, I want to be retaliating, I don't want to be initiating. And I wonder how much Leroy getting thrown in here was like really on her agenda versus like Adam sets it up and says like star holders Leroy and Kiefla, and she's like, okay, like if you guys are voting Leroy, like I'll continue to vote for him. But maybe she didn't care like so much about that vote.
Right.
Interesting stuff. Mm-hmm. Do you think Jay made the right decision going with Kara? I mean, we don't really hear any confrontation between Jasmine and Jay about it. And then Jasmine ends up going home. But, you know, do you think Jay flipped the right way to vote with Kara?
I don't think he got enough out of doing what he did. Because, again, I think I come back to, and maybe they did talk about it, but the fact that there was not more of a conversation between Jay and Nicole of one of them to the other being like, how do we best set this up for you, Nicole, to go in and get your star? And like, then you can pretend to like work with Kara or pretend to work with Cam and then set it up for Nicole to get her star. Like, that should have been more of the outcome for Jay. So I think it's fine what he did, but I think there was such more of a home run hit he could have delivered here, whether with the result also just like the perception of him if he did pull something like that off, that I feel like that could have been the bigger move that he could have done.
But, like, what? Only because, like, the way the other people who were eligible, like, Veronica, Jasmine, Tina, Cam, Laurel, those were the five, right?
Like, I think he could have set it up where he placated both Kara and Cam by placating Kara to put Jasmine in, placating Cam to put Cam in, and then Nicole replaces Cam, and, like, for Jay, he comes out scot-free to everyone. And Nicole, his number one, gets a star. And Kara keeps her a star. He tried to put Cam in. Like, he could have done all of these things and come out pretty smelling like roses and have confessions, being like, oh, I'm the mastermind. Look at me. I'm doing all this stuff. And having people, like, being friends with me. I think that could have been a very fun move.
I think that's doing too much for nothing. Like, I think Cam smells that out immediately. Like, I almost think it's weird that Cam even was, like, pitching this move with Tina unless she was going to have Nicole aligned, like, this is going to be my time. You're not going to come in and take it. Maybe that's a conversation we didn't see, like, where Cam is like, I want to go in. It's me and Tina. And if, like, that gets honored, Nicole's not going to step in. Maybe that was, like, a pre-agreed thing. So, like, does Jay, like, really have the social capital? He has a lot of social capital in the house, but does he have, like, the finesse, the social capabilities, like, the West Factor the old West Factor, to, like, go around, lie to Cam, have Kara and Nicole, when Kara, first of all, would be so motivated to be like, Cam, you think you, like, really did something, and expose the whole thing for just, like, a theatrical version of Cam getting pulled out by Nicole. And then Cam's furious at Nicole, who's his number one ally. And then maybe she starts taking hits at Jay anyway. Like, I just don't know what the payoff is when, like, I don't really think Cam's going to be that mad at Jay for not voting with her. Because, like, I don't even know how close they're working together anyway. Like, does Cam expect Jay's loyalty?
The payoff would have been fun for us. That would have been the payoff.
I wouldn't have wanted to see more Jay, like, going around town and, like, pretending he's making a big move.
I'm enjoying Jay this season. Is that, like, a hot take? I think he's been fun.
No, he's well. Fine. Because
he's in the mix.
Because I think he's actually playing it correctly. Like, I really respected these conversations he had with Kara, and I think he did make the right move. Like, I think, if anything, this kind of exposed Jasmine's game for how many people in the middle group felt extreme loyalty to Jasmine. And it's like, hold on a second. Kara, he lays it out perfectly. Like, he's, you know, saying it exactly how it is. Kara's got no one, and we have a pre-existing relationship where I can trust her. Jasmine and I are close, but every other person is Jasmine's number one. And I know I'm behind Derek, and I'm behind Ryan, or I'm behind all, whoever. I guess, because Ryan doesn't vote for her. So, like, I'm behind, like, this long list of people, and everybody feels the same way as me. I need to go back to basics with Kara and Nicole. And also, like, where's Jasmine's power coming from? I know she's been in the middle group, and she did, like, get Kara voted in. And that's excellent. But in general, if you're going to bet on Kara being in power more frequently or Jasmine being in power more frequently, you're probably going to think Kara. So I think he did the right move. And I think doing more to try to fool, like, some of the more strategic women in the house would have blown up in his face, which would have been fun, certainly. But from, like, I'm giving Jay his flowers. I think he did the right thing.
That would have been fun. It would have been fun. TJ.
Yep.
TJ coming in hot again at the elimination. Again, taking a page. This is the era of the host just making fun and ripping on the players is here. Because here, TJ, he makes fun of the base's outfit. Comes in dressed like a king. TJ's like, what the hell are you wearing, dude?
It's not the weirdest outfit we've seen showing up to an arena, not. For sure. I want to just talk quickly about the reaction. Like, I do want to say, like, it's probably the first time Cam has had a reaction, like, has said, like, it's a bad move, you're stupid. But it's like, she's got a right rationale. It's not just for going against her. Like, Kara's going to beat you in the end. Stop working with her. That's like a fair response from Cam. Better, more fair than we've seen in the last few episodes.
Yeah, probably. It was also fun to see someone actually blindsided. Like, I think you don't really see people actually blindsided by a vote, so... Cam, I think, was fully expecting to be going in, fully expecting going against Tina. And then, nope, not this time.
I love the season, but I do, and I wouldn't change anything. But if I could extend it by 10 minutes, I'd like to know, like, more about who Cam thought were going to be votes for her. Maybe she just thought, like, I'm asking to go in, so that should be honored. Yeah. But I don't quite know, like, the back half of that group, who she thinks she's close with. But...
Yeah. I would have liked to see more Jasmine for a lot. I feel like, considering how many people Jasmine thought she was close to, would have liked to seen her confront more of that six. They'd be like, what the hell, guys, basically. And we didn't get any of that.
Totally. But Nicole ends up coming down for Rope Rumble, which is, I think, a surprise to no one.
No. The second TJ announcing what the elimination was, the second we saw the elimination of the giant rope in the middle, it was like, okay. There's just the question of who is Nicole replacing. And I thought it would be the easiest decision in the world to go against Jasmine. I didn't think there'd be any drama to it. And I thought it would be the quickest elimination in years. But yes, there was some debate. There was some debate because Nicole actually does the opposite at first, replaces Jasmine, and then does the Uno reverse card, which I think we could talk about too.
Yeah, it's like pulling hose. I love when she said that. I don't know what happened here. Like, I don't know why Nicole replaces Jasmine to go against Veronica. I agree. I thought it was going to be an early, easy decision. I assume you agree to go against Jasmine. Yeah. I don't know what Veronica said changed her mind. I don't know what Kara has to do with it. I don't understand. I don't know why she was allowed to subtract. Like, I don't understand anything.
No, and I should have wrote that. Someone had the best confessional. I can't understand anything Nicole said, so I certainly can't understand what she's thinking, which sums up, I think, perfectly what everyone feels about Nicole, because it made no sense whatsoever. I don't understand it. I don't know what Veronica working with Kara would matter, nor why she would think she's working with Kara. They couldn't be not working together anymore, nor would Jasmine be involved. I don't understand it. It didn't make any sense, and it just didn't make sense.
If I could address Nicole directly, if you're watching, I'm sure you are. If you could just come.
Yeah, clip this for closer. Nicole. Let's clip this.
Just come closer. Your closest ally is working with Kara. Like, Jay is working with Kara. What is Veronica's crime?
I thought you were going to say Laurel was working with, because I thought that would be her close.
Well, I can't confirm that Laurel is working with Kara, but Jay is working with Kara.
Right. I thought, if poor Jay, like, I guess everyone was giving him the weird look. Like, what is your girl doing down there? Why? Why is he replacing Jasmine? And Jay's like, I don't know. She does her own thing. I don't know. But so she replaces Jasmine. Replaces Veronica first. Replaces Jasmine first. It's going to go against Veronica. And Veronica talks herself out of it by saying whatever. But should she have? I feel like this decision is final. I think you make your decision. You're done. This is who you're going up against. I was kind of very surprised even that TJ was like, yeah, sure, you can change your mind, whatever. I'm sure it wasn't him. But yeah, point still being.
I agree completely. Once your feet are out of the sand and you're back behind the barricade, I don't understand how you could be asked to come down. You've been granted repose. Jasmine has experienced relief. She doesn't know like that she is at risk anymore. She takes a deep breath. And then suddenly she's summoned back again because Veronica says, you're insane. I wasn't working with Kara. It boggles the mind, truly. And it would have been, I think, better television for them to say, no, you can't change, and then have them do the elimination anyway. Like, that would have been hilarious. I also think, like, again, the move she made, I guess I would say this in your tiers of decision. You should pick the person you think you can beat. Think if you think you can beat both of them, which I think would be an extremely fair assumption in this challenge for Nicole. So she thinks she more or less could beat either one of them. Then who would you least want to run a final with? You know, like that, like then that calculation. Mm-hmm. Okay, if it's both of them equally. And then you want to get to like who's working with my enemies, who would be a bigger hit with my enemies. I understand that. Like, I understand the jumps. Then she made the right decision in the first instance, if she truly felt like it was equal, that she could be both of them. Because the biggest F you to Kara is keeping her biggest target, the person she worked really hard to put down here, in the house. To then flip and change that makes no sense. If you are only motivated to put a hit out on Kara, then save Jasmine as you did.
Yeah. None of it makes any sense. I would love to get a report from Nicole being like, what happened? Hopefully we get it maybe to start next week of someone asking her what the hell happened, and then we can get some type of confessional where she describes it, because it doesn't make any sense. I mean, look, it worked out for her. It probably would have worked out for her anyway. I think Veronica probably would have put up a bigger fight just because her size. I think that would have been much more challenging, but I think Veronica probably would have tired out at a certain point. But this seemed like an easy win for Nicole no matter what, and she somehow fumbled it into making it a giant mess.
She's gonna be like, last week on the challenge, like, I thought I had it in the bag either way, so I, like, got a little confused, but luckily, TJ saved the day. Like, just, like, maybe she'll explain it.
That's a good question. Do you think she gets the that was very good. Very, very good. Or does Steve get it?
I think they do it combined. The last elimination, I think they did it combined.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Hopefully we get that on the call. And so, Steve, the other decision also, I think, was pretty more straightforward. Steve gives his star to Ace. They seem to be working fairly-ish close together. They always talk very highly of each other. So Steve gives his star to his buddy Ace.
It's interesting he makes a speech of like, Adam, I truly want to get you a star too, but Ace won the challenge today. Like, it's like, you don't need to tell everyone your whole game, but you know, that is sort of how the older school, like Adam, Ace, and Steve play, and Kiefla before he left. We didn't even talk about the elimination. I forgot it was going to happen, honestly, when we were watching the episode. You know, Steve wins. Shocker. Very sad to see Kiefla go. I pray this is not the last we see of Kiefla on the challenge.
Yeah, I would love to see him back. He brought a whole lot to the season. I think coming back again, now that he's started to like make some relationships and friendships, that it wouldn't be as much of an easy target from the get-go. And I think he probably could have put up a bigger fight this one. I think obviously the hamstring, I would assume, played a big impact on him, just like the shearing pain he probably was feeling throughout. And understandably so, not wanting to risk like a really serious thing when you have a whole family back home to take care of. So I get it from his perspective, and it just sucks. But hopefully we see him again.
We didn't get the BCR, but can we get the butter?
The butter.
Yeah, the BTR, the Brian Transition Report. Can you comment on TJ's use of the magic of television to change Nicole's clothing into her uniform?
That was very funny, especially TJ's face. I'm going to need that as a gift. Brian Scally, hope you're on that. Very funny. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, that was pretty awkward. I loved it. I love the All-Stars energy that they are giving. I guess that's it. I was like, do we have anything else?
Yeah.
Jasmine. Last week we read her tweet about retiring. It's not the energy she gives on the show. Obviously it was 2 years ago. But I hope, you know, I hope it's more of a Leroy retirement than a full-time retirement. I couldn't even think of someone who's fully retired.
What's funny though, Jasmine says, well, next time when I come back, I have to really try something totally different. I would say no. I would say do exactly what you did this time. I think you played great. I think you got a little unlucky that the vote fell your way this time. I think they play this season now from this point forward 10 times. You make the final at least 5 times. So keep what you did this time. Don't change anything. Do it again.
I agree. I actually, I'm glad you highlighted that. I loved her exit where she was just like, I finally played the game I used to see everybody else play. And it blew up in my face, and I'll do something different. No, it was awesome. It was awesome to see her come into this, like, really strategic, you know, managing the social game really well, directing everything. Honestly, I think it goes to, like, even a bad luck draw to get Kara in a small middle group to get Brandon out. Mm-hmm. And then I also think there was a really good likelihood that Brandon could have won any elimination, you know? Like, he got really unlucky on that last ball. Like, I think a lot of things could have happened that would have saved Jasmine's game. And I would love to see Jasmine again.
Absolutely. Agree. Let's get to AI, baby.
DJ Sunny D.
Let's see at the screen. This is it. Here we go.
Wow.
We got high voltage drama. I'm going to play it. Hopefully this works. Thomas, touch the lights, go on. Keep flying, Jasmine. Time to move along. Carousel, subcount, takes a hit. Rock a slither. Another reach you get. Carries the target. The one they want to bring down. They go shining bright. Burning the star crown. Ace in the cool.
Powerful, what did it say? Powerful chords, catchy hooks, powerful chords.
Yep.
You know, it's interesting because the last few weeks I haven't like truly been able to make out the lyrics. So just been all vibes. And I thought, oh, wow, I'll be able to read the lyrics and that'll really connect the dots. And like, no, it still makes very little sense. Even when the lyrics are reading along. Also, shout out to the... Go ahead.
I made the creative decision because they don't know how to say Kara's name.
And I was just going to say.
They weren't saying Keefe's name correctly. Like, what if I add an extra E to his name? I feel like that would make them say it correctly. And they did. So I made the creative decision to make the sound right rather than the spelling of the lyric. And I think that was the right move.
I was going to say shout out to the artist that is you inputting this to put that K-E-E-F-L-A, which is also how I read it in my notes. I often spell things phonetically so that I don't mess up.
All right.
Excellent.
Episode 6, halfway in. We'll be back next week, episode 7. You can follow me on Twitter, @ColinBryan_, TikTok, Challenge Wrap-Ups. You can follow you.
You can only find me in the Facebook group, the Challenger Hap-Ups, but you can also find me this week talking with Akiva Winokur and Chappelle and Rob Cesternino about the Netflix movie Unfrosted on Nothing But Netflix. Mm. That was a lot of fun. Just drop. Check it out. And hopefully New Old Guy will be back at some point. But it's as you can see, I'm no longer in travel mode, but it's been a rough couple of weeks. So we will get back to that at some point soon.
And if you're listening to this on the day it drops, if you're in Chicago for the live Nodal podcast or whatever they call it, Survivor Live, I'll be there as well. So come say hello.
Brian, now in travel mode.
I'm in travel mode. We'll be back next week, episode 7. Until then, have a good one.
It's the recap of MTV. Your hosts, Ali and Brian T. They're the drunk end of R.E.J.P. You don't like this song, then don't at me.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.